As the story went, reported by Mark Twain,
in the name of the people of the United States, to whom you bold an arm.
The stage is set in Nevada for the 35th nuclear explosion.
The lady tonight.
Donald Campbell, the fastest man on water on Lake Mead, Nevada.
The lady tonight.
June 21st marked a significant anniversary. On that day in 1950, Hank Greenspun took over a newspaper that became the Las Vegas Sun. Greenspun and the Sun have done a lot to shape our past and our present. Las Vegas has a storied journalism past. Even before the railroad townsite auction on May 15, 1905, the McWilliams townsite had three competing weeklies. Only the Age survived, and Pop Squires bought it in 1908. He edited, published, or wrote for The Age for nearly 40 years, until it merged with its competitor in 1947. The Age's former editor, Charles Corkill, founded The Review in 1909. Eventually, Corkill's ex-wife won the paper in a divorce. In 1926, she sold it to longtime Nevada publisher Frank Garside. He had worked in several mining camps, including Tonopah, where he owned the Times Bonanza. Garside didn't plan to run the paper himself and reached out to Al Kalin. He had taught math and coached at the local high school, then moved to Elko to work on the Free Press with a college friend. He came to Las Vegas as part owner of the Review. Later, Garside moved south and became the postmaster of the old federal building that now houses the Mob Museum. Finally, in 1929, the Review became an evening daily. Former Governor James Scroggins had started the weekly journal and sold it. Thus, the main daily became the Las Vegas Evening Review Journal. Squires made the Age a daily as well, but as a Republican in a Democratic town and with less staff, he really couldn't compete. By the late 1940s, the Review Journal was dominant. He was close to Senator Pat McCarran and his political machine. Al Kalin's brother John edited the paper, and John's wife, Florence Lee Jones, was a major contributor. Her brothers Cliff and Herb were prominent local attorneys with political connections. With Las Vegas growing, Kalin wanted to expand. He found a buyer for Garside's percentage, Donald W. Reynolds from Arkansas. Reynolds took over in 1949. He spent more on the physical plant, but when he installed typesetting machines, the typesetters joined the International Typographical Union. Reynolds wouldn't negotiate, so they walked out. They started a paper, the Las Vegas Free Press, with some RJ veterans, Garside's son Scoop and son-in-law Ray Germain. The paper was quickly in trouble. It had only one resort advertiser, the Desert Inn, because the hotel's publicist disliked the Review Journal. His name was Hank Greenspun. He was unhappy working for the Desert Inn boss, Mo Dalitz. Greenspun went to the union's headquarters in Indianapolis and bought the Free Press with $1,000 down that he had borrowed from prominent Las Vegas businessman Nate Mack. He changed the name to the Las Vegas Morning Sun, then just the Sun. Kalin did an editorial page column called From Where I Sit that included a piece critical of strikes. Greenspun felt he was the target and wrote a front page spoof, From Where I Stand. The compositors didn't include the word from. Where I Stand was born, and it survives, as does the Sun, but in a different way. Greenspun admired liberal Republican former congressman and New York City Mayor Fiorello LaGuardia and shared his hatred of political machines. Nevada had one, headed by Senator Pat McCarran. Greenspun also saw McCarran as anti-Semitic. Greenspun was Jewish and had helped Israel during the war that followed its creation, ultimately pleading guilty to violating the Neutrality Act. He criticized McCarran on numerous grounds, including that he had tolerated corruption that Senator Estes Kefauver's Committee on Organized Crime had ferreted out. Eventually, on March 24, 1952, almost every casino in Las Vegas canceled its Sun advertising. Greenspun sued McCarran and the resort executives, accusing them of conspiracy. The case went before U.S. District Judge Roger T. Foley, who owed his appointment to the bench to Pat McCarran. But Foley played it fair. The publisher won a settlement, money plus the return of the advertising. Also in 1952, Nevada had a U.S. Senate race. McCarran and his allies backed former State Attorney General Allen Bible in the Democratic primary. Greenspun backed a newcomer to Nevada, Tom Meckling, who barely defeated Bible. Greenspun had shown he had some political clout. Greenspun also took on bigger fish. The early 1950s were the MacArthur era for the Wisconsin senator in his anti-communist crusade. Greenspun had supported Dwight Eisenhower for the Republican nomination in 1952, but switched to Adlai Stevenson when he saw the general as too close to McCarthy. When McCarthy campaigned for the Republican ticket in Nevada on October 13th, Greenspun said of him, "He has spread suspicion and fear among the people, and by these very acts has weakened our defenses against the dangers of communism." Greenspun then attended McCarthy's rally, where the senator referred to him as an ex-communist. At the end, Greenspun rushed the stage, grabbed the microphone, and turned the crowd in his favor. He then began attacking McCarthy in the Sun that included a series asking, "Is Senator McCarthy a secret communist?" He accused him of corruption. He questioned McCarthy's sexuality, later saying that he didn't care that he had no evidence, but McCarthy deserved to have done to him what he had done to others. On January 8, 1954, a Greenspun column declared, "Senator Joe McCarthy has come to a violent end. The chances are that McCarthy will be laid to rest at the hands of some poor innocent slob whose reputation and life he had destroyed through his well-organized smear machine. Really, I'm against Joe getting his head blown off, not because he doesn't deserve it, but I would hate to see some simpleton get the chair for such a public service as getting rid of McCarthy." The Eisenhower administration revoked the Sun's mailing privileges, and the U.S. attorney prosecuted Greenspun for tending to incite murder or assassination. Greenspun was acquitted. All of this made Greenspun nationally known, profiled in major magazines of the time. Meanwhile, the Sun was gaining on the RJ in circulation and advertising. The Sun was rising in its journalism fight against the Review Journal. But on November 21st, 1963, the Sun's building burned in an early morning fire. Greenspun ordered that the Sun publish the next day, even if it was just 4 pages. The Sun never really recovered from the fire, but it remained influential, as did Hank Greenspun. In 1966, Howard Hughes came to Las Vegas. Greenspun was involved in the negotiations that led to Hughes' arrival and purchase of the Desert Inn. Hughes loaned Greenspun about $4 million at low interest and bought Channel 8 from him for $3.6 million. Hughes fired his right-hand man, Robert Mayhew, Greenspun's ally. Mayhew provided memos written by Hughes, and Greenspun attacked the billionaire in the newspaper. The memos were in Greenspun's office safe, and in the summer of 1972, someone tried to break into the safe. It turned out to be part of the Watergate scandal. Richard Nixon's people were trying to get their hands on information and connections between him and Hughes. The Hughes memos got attention for the Sun, as did its political coverage. Its reporting and Greenspun's columns helped elect Mike O'Callaghan governor in 1970 and re-elect him in 1974. In 1979, after leaving office, O'Callaghan became an editor at the Sun and joined Greenspun, his son Brian, and longtime Sun executive Ruthie Deskin in writing Where I Stand. The Sun also boasted a variety of well-respected journalists, from Adam Yacenda, Joe Diglas, and Colin McKinley in the 1950s to later reporters like Mary Manning and Ed Cook. The Sun also kept crusading, It was strongly anti-nuclear waste, first at the low-level repository at Beatty and then at the proposed Yucca Mountain site for permanent storage. The Greenspuns had other important interests. They developed Green Valley starting in the 1970s. Greenspun won the contract for local cable television. Then in 1989, Hank Greenspun died. The Sun had been a distant second to the RJ in circulation for many years. After his death, the RJ and the Sun signed a joint operating agreement, which the Justice Department would allow in order to save a newspaper that was in financial trouble. Before the Great Recession of 2008, the Sun greatly expanded its newsroom. It paid off with the first reporting Pulitzer Prize for public service for a Nevada newspaper for its work on the death of construction workers and the lack of enforcement. Alexandra Berzon was the main reporter. She's now with the New York Times. Marshall Allen and Alex Richards were Pulitzer Prize finalists for local reporting on preventable injuries in hospitals. By then, the Sun no longer published separately in the afternoon. Instead, it appeared as a section in the Review Journal starting in 2005. There have been lawsuits and public arguments between the two newspapers and among the Greenspun family over the Sun and its relationship with the RJ. The Sun still comes out with columns, editorials, news, and feature stories. Las Vegas still has distinctive journalistic voices in print, online, and on the air. And let's hope that continues forever. This is Senator Richard Bryan urging you to join me next time for more Nevada Yesterdays.
Nevada Yesterdays is written by UNLV history professor Michael Green and is supported by Nevada Humanities.